News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
To you guys, it's Tuesday. To you guys, it's snowing. To me, it's day two without Afrin. I think we've pretty much gotten it licked, though. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. Do you see what it's doing outside right now, David? At least over Amherst. It is snowing. It is that area. It's on the cusp between a very light snow and an almost moderate snow, and it is just gradually fluttering and floating down. And, David, this is the time of the year, and the first snowfall is always that time where the various departments of public works have to deal with both the leaves that have piled up that have not yet been sucked up because they seem to be a little late falling off the trees this year, the leaves and the snow. So if you work for one of the local departments of public work, thank you for what you do, and good luck, because I can't imagine what it's like plowing snow when the snow is covering up a mountain of leaves. So try to have fun with that, and please don't hit my car. David, good morning so far. Good day so far.
So far, yeah, we're hanging in there.
Well, we'll see if we can change that. Had a chance. I started my day off with one of your friends, David.
Who's that?
Tom from BP Poxy Creek came over to take some measurements. And I don't know whether I should like you because you recommended a company that is making the house look better than it looks, or whether I should not like you because I'm spending money I hadn't planned on spending.
Right. Well, when they say that they can put a floor in 2 to 3 days, they weren't anticipating floors, walls, doors, ceilings, and assorted countertops.
Hey, when you got a good company, you go with a good company. And obviously, David will be telling you more about one of our sponsors coming up.
Yeah,
the calendar, again is what?
No offense. Iron Maiden, very underrated band. They were awesome, especially, you know, they handed out some, depending on where you grew up in Western New York, Iron Maiden, April Wine, those were staples. You know, that was issued. It was like a Cinderella album, you know, and you got the, Guns N' Roses.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Frampton Comes Alive.
Peter Frampton. David, I was just going to mention, Peter Frampton is one of those performers who has this special connection and relationship to Western New York. When I lived in St. Louis, Peter Frampton did not get the love in St. Louis that he gets every single time he plays Art Park or a local venue.
I don't know if there was a band in the 80s that had cooler art than Iron Maiden. They had just really great T-shirts. They had really good, it was always, yeah, the album covers and stuff were always cool. But they have a huge following in Western New York. I mean, I don't know if it's a year-out following, but they're playing at the arena, right? They're not playing at Darien Lake. They're not playing at the county fair.
That is correct.
They're showing bigger than ZZ Top.
This is correct.
So
this is correct.
Let's give them credit. Judas Priest, by the way. They would need New Era Field.
You know, we've talked in this show about our mutual affinity for a band that was kind of a novelty band of the 1960s, but still produced some awesome songs, The Monkees.
I love The Monkees.
And it is music legend, David, that the opening act on some of the Monkees gigs was...
I saw Weird Al.
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, Hendrix.
Back in the 1960s.
The 87 tour, Weird Al Yankovic opened for the Monkees at Melody Fair.
I would do anything to go back into the time machine and check out the Monkees at Melody Fair. I can't believe that little Davey Bellavia was sitting there, because I can remember driving around and listening to the ads promoting concert ticket sales for that particular show. And, of course, Davey Jones is no longer with us.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, but think about that, though. If you had, you know, Michael Bublé is one of those artists who, you know, he's made a whole career off of sounding like a throwback, but it's basically a poor man Sinatra.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really nothing Michael Bublé does that is, you know, I mean, this is his final tour because his son got sick and he's trying to, you know, which is honorable and awesome that he cares about being a dad. And so he's getting away from music, which I think everyone, by the way, in the last year that's going on tour has retired. Elton John, I'll be retiring this last 7 years. I'll do my farewell tour 3 times around South America. I mean, it's everyone that's on tour is the last time you'll ever see me.
Well, it's called in advertising, folks. It's called the call to urgency.
Right.
And my God, this could be the last time I have a chance to see these people perform. And I reckon by my tally, you'll have a chance to see them performing again in the future. That is, as long as you've got a job with which you can buy tickets.
Or as soon as they, yeah, this is the until we run out of money tour. You know, and that's basically what it is. But, you know, you look at the different – right now, if you recorded an album and you got 500,000 people to buy it, you know, you're few and far between. No one's buying CDs. No one's buying entire albums. They buy a track for 99 cents or $1.10 or whatever it is, and they download it. So the real money to be made is in tours. It's for until the hologram becomes super – you know, easy and accessible, you're going to go to a live music to see your favorite entertainer. And that's where they make all their cash. So there are guys that haven't recorded an album in 25 years that are on tour and selling out everywhere.
But you're spot on, though, about the money. I mean, they work just the same way and for the same reasons any of us work, because we need the money and we want the money. Three Dog Night, David, obviously one of the United States' biggest bands, late 1960s, early 1970s. You could not turn on a radio without hearing Joy to the World. Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and they played Homecoming at UB a couple of years ago. And they just put on an incredible show, and I had the opportunity to go backstage after the show and chat with the now-deceased Corey Wells and also the now-deceased Jimmy Greenspoon. Jimmy was the keyboard player for Three Dog Night, and I asked Jimmy, I said, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but you've played the same songs how many tens of thousands of times, and yet you still bring passion to each and every performance. How are you able to do it? And he looked at me and he said, Tom, it's because I need the money. And I laughed. I mean, he was totally upfront and honest about it.
Well, I mean, again, you think that, what's Eddie Money doing? Well, very well, because he's on tour. You know, but you look at the concerts that went through Batavia Downs, and there's a lot of people there that you probably haven't heard. You know, Phil Oates, John Hall, and Oates, right? Those guys probably set financially for the rest of their life. They don't need money. But it doesn't hurt if you can. How many people went to Knox Farms to see?
They had it for a first time festival. They did a very nice job at the Borderlands Festival.
That doesn't sound like a lot of people.
it was not jam packed. I'm not going to lie. It was not jam packed. I'd say John Oates probably had about 300 people watching him in immediate proximity.
Let's say he put $15,000 in his pocket for that show.
Right.
You know, for John Oates, who's got enough money set aside.
Yeah, he's got a net worth of about $40 million, I think.
Yeah, so you're making, enough change in the summertime to afford a new pool.
Well, I don't know how we got down this road, but I'm fascinated by it. I think what was, I tell you, the most amazing thing to me was not 300 people to see John Oates of Hall and Oates. The most amazing thing to me was earlier this summer, David, when Billy Bob Thornton, the actor, came to Buffalo, and he played at the Buffalo Ironworks. And, David, I'm not exaggerating. Here is, this huge Hollywood star. I mean, the guy's a legend. He was married to Angelina Jolie, Bad Santa. He's in a series called Goliath. I mean, he was in The Alamo. He even had a small role in the movie Tombstone, Billy Bob Thornton. And Billy Bob Thornton probably played to a room of maybe 40 to 50 people, and that is it. And here's this huge Hollywood star. And I thought, David, that it was an anomaly. And because I loved Billy Bob Thornton's music, I really did. He put on a tremendous show. I didn't know any of the songs, but it was still tremendous. I took my daughter to see him the following Saturday in South Burlington, Vermont. And guess what? He played before a crowd of probably about 25 to 30 people. Huge Hollywood star. Now, granted, I didn't hear a bit of advertising for the show either in Vermont or in Buffalo, but the guy likes to make music, but that's got to be tough being Billy Bob Thornton looking out there and seeing 30 faces looking back at you.
Yeah, that's especially, and the idea that you think, most of the people were there probably just to see the actor Billy Bob Thornton. And these are talented people. To become a Hollywood actor, you throw a guitar on him, I would pay just to see him talking between songs.
Now, he was, I'll tell you, we've mentioned this before, talking about jobs and employment and everything. Talked about this before, but Billy Bob Thornton, in my opinion, has always gotten a bum deal in the media for the way he is, because I've had a chance now to meet him twice. He remembered me. He was very, very He was very, very gracious, a genuinely nice guy, a genuinely down-to-earth guy. And he actually, the night before his Buffalo show, he went bowling at Sheridan Lanes in the town of Tonawanda. And everybody who ran into him there said the same thing. Totally cool, totally down-to-earth guy. And yet, if you do an internet search for Billy, how does Billy Bob Thornton treat his fans? Oh, he's a horrible human being. No, he's not.
Well, you know, you wear a vial of blood around your neck for 4 years. People are going to tend to maybe prejudge.
But it got him. It got him the hype. You know, there are a lot of jobs that are high profile, and then, David, there are jobs that are low profile, but very, very important to our community, very, very important to any economy. And right now, speaking of making money and the need for continuing sources of income, there are some disturbing words coming out of the people at New Era.
That's one of the crown jewels of Western New York was, you know, New Era, as big as that company, you know, over the last probably 10 years, became an industry leader based in Buffalo, New York. You know, there's probably three companies in Western New York that you think of when you, who are the biggest employers, who have the biggest impact? Well, 300 people worked at a Derby facility at a time when you know, New Era and their products, they're made in China. They're made in countries that have, you know, very cheap labor. Well, not for the folks in Western New York. We had 300 people employed when most of the markets were saying, why don't you do this in India? Do this in Pakistan or Vietnam and save a bunch of money. Well, unfortunately, it turns out that that may be very well what New Era had to make that choice, where they said it just doesn't make sense economically for the future to continue to make products here in Western New York. Now, is that going to be an indictment on Trump? Is that going to be an indictment? It's funny. Nobody complains about the New York economy or the way, you know, why doesn't Andrew Cuomo roll out the Amazon carpet for the people at New Era? I mean, Amazon, too, is getting free rent, tax-free. Hey, go up to New Era right now, save 300 jobs, Governor Cuomo, and say, hey, what's the problem here? Is it taxes? Is it energy? How about we give you free hydroelectricity and we cut your taxes by 30%? I bet you New Era not only keeps the 300 jobs, they may hire.
Well, I would love to talk with the big shots at New Era about this, because one wonders if it is something as simple as that, or is it something more which government can't really do anything about, David, and is it the always high cost of labor, which is the single biggest budgetary item that you've got in any small business? It's labor, your employees, your salaries, your benefits, etc. Is this a labor cost issue? Is this a cost of doing business in New York State issue? Is it a combination of the two? If it is a combination of the two, is there anything that New York State can do for New Era that would keep those jobs going? Or is this just a fait accompli which nothing can be done to prevent?
Well, yeah, and how much does New York actually care? I mean, when it comes to recruiting businesses from outside the state, they seem to move heaven and earth for whatever the needs are from companies from Virginia, North Carolina, Florida. And by the way, is New Era getting the same treatment as Solar City?
Good point.
I mean, you want cheap warehouse facilities. I know where there's about, 185,000 square feet sitting vacant right now.
Well, they said, what do they say? They're going to move production to Florida? Did I hear that correctly?
Who was that?
New Era?
Oh, New Era. I haven't heard exactly. I know that it's a cost thing, and New York just doesn't meet their future plan.
But we spent, David, here's what I don't get about New York State, and I will never understand this about New York State, because, David, I was here. I was working. I was a young radio talk show host when Bethlehem Steel was closing down, when Republic Steel was closing down, when Donner Hannah Koch was in the process of severe downsizing. David, I remember the newspaper headlines, thousands to be out of work, tens of thousands to be unemployed. And every time I hear about several hundred workers losing their jobs, I think to myself, wait a minute, these are local people, these are local families, and this started out as a local company, and yet this state is spending money in other states, or did spend money in other states, telling people all about the new business-friendly New York State. And one does wonder if there's anything that New York State politicians could do that makes sense in terms of incentives that will actually benefit the taxpayer, because you're going to keep people off of social services, you're going to keep people working, you're going to keep people contributing to the economy. I'm sure that they've got a formula that they can work out to say whether it's cost effective, but I just wonder if there's anything that state government can do to keep these jobs at New Era local.
Or just why they're not making a press conference. You know, when the yogurt facility left Batavia after it was promised to be the next greatest thing, you had Mueller, you had Pepsi, you had all these different companies coming together, German, Russia, this was the greatest thing. You know, Greek yogurt, the official snack food of New York State, let's all celebrate. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. There's no Chuck Schumer at that press conference. I don't see Kathy Hochul, don't see anyone from the New York delegation. Nobody wants to be there when the factory closes. And yet every time we're supposed to get excited, Amazon's coming to Queens. Oh, that's fantastic.
Bass Pro.
Well, Bass Pro.
I remember that news conference.
We will move heaven and earth to bring companies from states and give them whatever they want. I guarantee you when this story comes out about Amazon and Queens, we'll be paying Amazon. New York State taxpayers not only will not get a dime of tax revenue from Amazon, but will be investing, infusing money to meet their payroll tax needs as state just to keep 25 to 5,000 people employed in Queens.
Well, as we move along here on News Radio 930 WBEN, got to ask you the question. Have you ever been fired? Was it an individual thing, or did you get caught up in a large-scale layoff like what is going to happen at New Era? If you are a worker at New Era, you want to put us in the picture, you want to tell us what's going on, feel free to give us a call. I mean, we'll absolutely, positively want to hear from you. But the general question with which we're leading off today is, have you got fired? And at the end of the day, did it prove actually to be a new door opening? I mean, I hate to spout off a cliche when you guys are thinking about what the hell you're going to do when the paychecks run out. But sometimes it is true that one door shuts and another one opens wide open for you.
Wouldn't it be weird if the new headquarters was located in Fedora, like Florida?
That would be very strange. Or medicine
Derby.
Hat.
Derby is a hat?
It is.
You know?
Except if you're in Britain, it's called Derby.
Is it really?
Yeah, which never made sense to me.
And by the way, yes, you were correct. Miami, Florida is where they're going. Now, Cuomo will tell you, of course, it's because of the weather they're leaving Derby. That's where they're all going.
All right. Have you ever been fired individually? Maybe you got a bum deal. Maybe you got caught up as part of a mass layoff. Never a good time to be fired. Never a good time to lose your job. Bowerly and Bellavia with you on a, well, snowy Tuesday. Oh, yeah. Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we're talking about those of you who have been fired and whether it turned out that it was actually good that you got fired. Because sometimes losing one door, having it slammed in your face, means another door opens up. You know, back in the day, some of the people that were fired from Bethlehem Steel, Donner Hannah, Republic Steel, some of them were actually entrepreneurial in spirit and used that experience to start up their own business. Other people, of course, fell through the cracks, and it was basically the ending of their lives. I had a brother who is still with us, worked at J.H. Williams, a huge manufacturing concern in the town of Tonawanda for many, many years. But there is no more J.H. Williams around. We've lost a lot of our manufacturing over the years, and the reason we're bringing this up is, David, it looks like about 200 people at New Era are going to be losing their Western New York jobs as the company transfers manufacturing operations that are currently being done here to Miami.
You know, look, these decisions have to be made. I mean, a company has to survive. If you have to make decisions now, certainly better than, you know, a bankruptcy or losing the entire company and not being able to make a profit. But again, you just got to question where the priorities are of this state. I mean, we're all about bringing businesses in from other states. New York's open for business. Let's come up with a way to cut taxes and do whatever. But what do we do with existing New York businesses? Because I'm telling you right now, they're going to Miami, Florida, like you said. But, Tom, why are they going to Miami? It's not the weather. It's not the quality of worker. It's not the education of New York workers. Nope. It's not the work ethic of Western New York workers. It's what? It's the state. It's the burden of the government that makes businesses feel like they're not welcome here.
Well, you know, David, I don't know if they're doing this in Florida, but there's a lot of local businesses that have been ordered by New York State. And these are small mom-and-pop kind of businesses. They've been ordered by New York State. They've got to put on the sexual harassment workshops by 2019.
Right.
And they've got all the forms in the mail. And there are companies now, oh, we'll come in and we'll put on your sexual harassment workshop for $1,500. Some of the payroll companies are getting in. It's a scam.
Well, yeah, especially because, you know, first of all, these are really no different than the mafiosa shakedowns that they would have. You know, they'd come by the neighborhood, say, hey, we have new rules now. We've got we got to change the light bulbs on the street. I need everyone to kick in an extra $50 a month for the light bulbs. Well, you're not paying for anything.
Don Finucci says the neighborhood's getting lazy.
New York comes in and says, hey, OSHA, it turns out you need two locks on every door. Who needs three locks to... No, I mean, that's what it comes... New York just changes the rules. You know, you look at workman's compensation and all the different things that New York wants to... The withholdings that go to New York. You know, that's their bread and butter. I mean, who better? I don't know how you could possibly... What would cause... Outside of Andrew Cuomo writing you a check, what would cause you to take a business from Florida or Texas? Where, you know, a third of our economy, those states without income tax, what would make you want to come to New York? It would have to be the deal of a century.
Meth.
Why don't we make those deals for companies that consider leaving New York?
Because we are very short-sighted. And actually, that whole program on which we spent so much money advertising in other states, what did it net, like 40 jobs, if that? Millions of dollars spent for 40 jobs to come to New York State, and we've got 200 jobs now from New Era that are hanging in the balance.
Well, luckily, Mark Poloncar said very positive things to say at today's press conference. Oh, wait a minute. He wasn't there?
Oh,
that's interesting, because every time anything happens with the Buffalo Billion, every politician, you can't swing a baguette without hitting someone in the head. You can't swing anything. All of a sudden, everyone is there. Cuomo's there. Hochul's there. Poloncarz is there. Len Lanahan shows up out of the blue. Four chairmen ago.
Where did that name come from?
Every Democrat known to man. There's a press conference. What's happening? Solar City is handing out T-shirts. Let's all have a press conference. Chuck Schumer clears the parts of the sea. All of a sudden, the jobs leave. It's like tumbleweeds.
That's
no
right.
One is around. No one wants to talk. Where was the Kathy Hochul, Chuck Schumer press conference when the yogurt factory left Batavia?
Well, let's find out what people have to say about being fired and whether it proved to be the worst thing that ever happened, a zero net gain, or whether it actually was a good thing that happened. I'm kind of an anomaly. Almost 40 years in radio, I've never been fired from radio. The only job from which I've ever been let go was when I was the assistant janitor or sexton at a church. And I was let go because of a budget cut. They couldn't afford $2.35 an hour minimum wage for a couple hours a day.
I almost want to hire Tom and fire him. Just to say it's been done.
Here is Alan in Tonawanda on WBEN. Alan.
Hello, how are you?
Sir.
Good. Hey, you know, I feel that it's not such a complex type of an issue. Back in 1978, I worked for a company called Chisholm and Riders. In Niagara Falls, and what we used to make were these huge grape harvester machines, and China ordered 10 of them. We shipped over three, I think it was, and they canceled the order. And here we had the other ones on a dock ready to go. So we sent an investigator over there, and what it turned out was they reverse engineered them.
Right.
They just took the ones that we sent, and they reverse engineered them. So that's kind of part of the problem, I mean, besides the high taxes in New York State, but... The thing, it's not a business-friendly state. I mean, if you look what happened with Remington Arms, for instance, that should have never happened. I mean, that's been around for over a century, you know, and it's due to the aggressive nature of gun control from, you know, Cuomo.
Well, you know, what's horrible about this, Alan, is, as I pointed out, you know, you take Route 5 and you just start driving east on Route 5 and you go through all of these once very, very prosperous towns at one point because of the Erie Canal and industrialization and the rapidity with which goods could be brought to market. But you see all of these towns along the New York State Thruway, and many of them, Dave, are absolutely, Alan, they are desolate. They are in a state of disrepair. I mean, it's tragic driving past against Syracuse and the old electric company that used to be there. It's tragic driving past the remains of what used to be the Beechnut factory. Remember that?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You know, twice a year I would pass through there going on trips to Massachusetts.
So how do you explain
the Route 5 issue? That's China undercutting our steel market.
Absolutely. Well, and you could say South Korea as well.
Exactly.
It's not just China, but Alan, when you look at manufacturing jobs coming back to areas that never thought that manufacturing would come back, they're talking about Rust Belt jobs. Pittsburgh's seeing it, Cleveland's seeing it, Michigan, Detroit, you name it. Is Buffalo ever going to get? Are we going to get a bounce back in our manufacturing, or is it because New York State, you know, that hinders anyone wanting to come here?
Never going to happen. New York State is, I believe, 100%, conflicted on what they need to do as far as bringing industry back into New York, because it is about taxes. Why would you, any manufacturer, want to go to a state that is not business friendly and has one of the highest tax rates in the country? It just doesn't make sense.
Well, and also, let's not forget the personal income tax of New York State, and that's a reason a lot of New Yorkers now have escaped the clutches of the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance, and they have established legal residency in Florida. But I have to put out a word of, and Alan, it sounds like you're the kind of guy who's already thought about this, but you have to understand, if you are going to convince New York Department of Taxation and Finance that you are a Florida resident, they're going to want to see proof that your primary care physician is in Florida. They're going to want to see proof that your primary chiropractor is in Florida. They're not just going to let your money go without a fight.
Isn't that something? And you're 100% correct. This is what we have in New York State. It's more about penalties and penalizing people than what can we do to bring people back into the state. It just doesn't make sense. My wife and I lived out in Arizona for 4 years. The same house in Arizona, we paid $782 a year in taxes. Here, that same house, it's not much difference in the city of Tonawanda. I'm paying over $6,000 a year in taxes.
Oy.
It's just insane. You know, it makes no sense to want to stay here.
I told you this before. I had an $80,000 house in St. Charles, Missouri. My annual taxes were like $800 a year on an $80,000 house, which was about 3,000 square feet.
Oh, geez.
I mean, but here's something that you do have to look out for, though, in those states that are low tax. One way or another, they've got to take in money. And some states, like Missouri, when I lived there, had the personal property tax. So every year, you literally had to pay tax money for every TV you owned. I think it was every TV you owned and every car you owned.
Oh, so they figured a way, for sure.
Oh, they always figure out a way, but it was still less onerous than New York State.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, it's just New York State is all about taxation and spend. Tax and spend, tax and spend.
Welcome to New York. Toll booth ahead, if I can steal a line from the great Sandy Beach. Alan, one quick question. You were fired back in 1978. What did you do with yourself?
What I ended up doing, it actually worked out good for me because what I actually ended up doing was going back to college and getting a degree. So, and that's what I stayed with for the rest of my career. It worked out good for me. But, you know, I always missed that job. It was a really good place to work. It was a union job, and it was sad to see it go. It was just sad as could be to just see it shut right down because of that one loss to China.
Well, Alan, thank you very much. Not the first time I've heard of somebody doing business with China and ending up on the other end of it without any kind of thing to make it easier. Thank you very much for the call. Here is Dan in Hamburg on WBEN. Dan, we're thinking about what's going on at New Era. Have you been fired? And if you have been, did it work out for the better or the worse?
Actually, it worked out for the better. About a year ago, July, I have worked 38 years as an automotive technician in a GM dealership. The dealership that I was fired from is a family dealership, a large family dealer. And I've been there 17 years. I was the top tech, or one of the top techs, did all the worst work, worked on hybrids, worked on diesels. Anything they handed me, I could do. But I wasn't making enough money. I wasn't turning enough hours. So I was fired. I was off on unemployment for about 4 months, and just about a year ago, I went to see a friend of mine who ran a hardwood manufacturer. They do exotic decking and exotic hardwoods and stuff. He said, "Do you ever think about doing this?" I said, "Well, yeah, this would be interesting." And I've been there for a year, and I love it. My stress level is way lower. The pay is a little less, but pay isn't always everything. You know, I come home at night, I'm happy. I've lost about 40 pounds because it's a completely different type of work. So for the, you know, they actually did me a favor.
Well, again, that's one of the reasons we're asking this question, because a lot of times you get fired, you think it's the end of the world, but actually things turn out very, very well. Glad you called in, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you.
The circumstances under which you got fired, new era. We're going to lose 200 more jobs from Western New York, it looks like. So it looks like 200 people are going to lose their job at New Era. Those jobs are going to Miami. Can't imagine why a company would want to move from Derby, New York State, to Miami, Florida. If you are a New Era worker and want to help put us in the picture, we would love to talk to you at 803-0930. For the rest of you, have you ever been fired, and did what looked like certain disaster when it happened, did it actually turn out to be to your advantage? And I've been stunned over the years by the number of people with whom I've spoken for whom getting fired actually proved to be a positive thing, because it forced them to reconsider where they were going with their lives. It forced them to maybe get into things that they'd never thought of before, but turned out they had a natural aptitude. Here is Rambo Jim, North Tonawanda on WBEN. Rambo Jim, I can't imagine anybody firing you.
Once in my life, I was a security guard. I'm on my way to work, and I didn't want to be late for work. I stopped at one of those stop-and-go places, and I grabbed a plastic bottle. It said cider on the – I saw cider on the label, on the bottle. No problem. I take it to work. I stick it in the refrigerator, and I forgot all about it. It was a dream job. I was a security guard on the midnight shift. These gorgeous towns.
Jim, before we go any further, are you talking to us near an electric appliance?
No, but it just stopped.
Okay, thank you.
And I stuck it, it was hard cider, and I didn't even look at it, because, you know, I stuck it in the refrigerator when I got to work, and I just forgot about it, and I left it in the refrigerator. Somebody found it and blew me into the office, and that's how I got fired. By the way, I used to be the security guard on the midnight shift at Chisholm Rider. For that guy, I hope he's listening. I was living with these two girls at the time, and they were gorgeous, and their girlfriends was a Playboy bunny. two or three nights out of the month, when the girls didn't have anything to do, they would go to Chisholm Rider with me, and we would, like, I did my job. I made all the assigned rounds I was supposed to make with the flashlight and everything.
You're telling me you brought two women to Chisholm Rider? You're giving me that kind of low-hanging fruit, and I got to be a grown-up here? Thanks a lot. I got nothing. I can't do nothing with that.
Yeah, these chicks were gorgeous. They liked walking around in the midnight. Well, they said that I was too they said, yeah, you're just too scared. You need us girls with you. And I agreed with them as long as they would.
So you got fired from your job as a security guard, and what happened next? Give people some reason to hope, Jim, that just losing a job is not the end of the world.
Well, my next job was I got hired by this other security outfit, and I ended up working on the midnight shift at Chisholm Rider with two gorgeous chicks keeping me company all night.
So that was the impetus for the whole Chisholm Rider thing.
Yeah, I mean, little did they know. Well, you know what's cool was the Niagara Falls cops, when they were patrolling, asked me who are the two girls. So I told the cops the truth, and they kept quiet about it.
Now, we just want to say a warm hello to the men and women who should just be getting on in a few minutes of the Niagara Falls Police Department's afternoon shift. Sorry, guys. Work. I'm not sure when your shift changes are in Niagara Falls, but thank you for many, many years of support. Love running into you guys when we're out checking out the Nerds or Flipside or Hit and Run or Breakaway or one of the great bands we have here in Western New York, where every great musician has to have a great job in the daytime just to pay the bills. Thank you very much, Jim.